everyone. It's great to see you. I'm sorry I missed most of the action for the past 2 days. I wish I was there, but it's impossible. Who were there yesterday or on Friday? Yeah. So some of us also missing the action. But we will have some sharing, right? Right? Yep. And but before that, I would like to share about what our family have gone through in the past few days. And thanks for all your carings and prayers. And this morning, perhaps, he have already moved out of ICU to Zion. And praise the Lord for that. I just got a message. It seems that he cried the first time after the operation. That's a good thing. I mean, usually we don't like to hear him cry, but this is a good thing. Can we have the slides? I just want to show you photo. I mean, this is actually the best photo we got since yesterday. Our photos I'm not going to show you because it's too scary. Compare with the time that he was born, this time probably he wasn't that close to death as before. Now, praise the Lord, he is now far from death. I think. You never know. What is death? When I was sitting in ICU, the first answer came up in my mind, actually from those diagrams. You perhaps don't know what the meaning of that. But one thing you know, I mean, Genesis, you're familiar with that. One thing come up in my mind is the theology from the creation. The second verse in Genesis described the earth was formless and empty. The earth was in chaos. And then in creation, God actually put everything into order, like seasons, day and night. And if you study science, you know that everything is in order. If you do, medical science, and you will understand those things. Death is when things are out of order, when things are in chaos. So, a lot of echoes. If you look at the graph, like the first one is the heartbeat. It's quite steady, right? And the second one is the blood pressure. The fourth one is actually 100. It's actually 100% out of 100. It's like the oxygen level of Josiah. That is actually the first. I mean, the reason of for me to take the photo is because it's the first time since he was born, the first time I see that 100, that figure. He was like 90 something at best. And when he ran around, he would never decrease. For every one of us, I think, if you haven't got a heart disease, you will always be at 100 because your heart will beat faster. And you know when to stop, right? You won't let your oxygen level go down. So, but I mean, if your heartbeat is like the third line, then you're like that, right? That's in chaos. So those are things that I have been looking at yesterday, the day before. We have talked about death from a passage in the New Testament last week. There's more about resurrection, about our eventual salvation. This year, bear with me, I'm not like, I'm not just 50% functioning. This week we will take a look from the Old Testament and from one of the wisdom books, Psalms, and let's learn about the wisdom to live this life. It's quite different. In the New Testament, you mostly focus on the life that's coming in, or the kingdom have come and yet to fulfill. But in the Old Testament, you find a lot of wisdom to how to live this life. Let's read Psalms 116. I mean, if you have a Bible, feel free to open that, because I may flip to other verses. The psalmist starts with a firm decision to call on the Lord. He said, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. this time the operation is not the first time that Maggie and I stayed in the hospital when nobody was there. We stayed like during night time in the hospital in Hong Kong for many nights. Seems that we have been there before and we are experienced. Seems that we know how to arrange that, who to call. I'll call our parents to take care of the kids, to help the physical needs. But the real thing is that we know who to call about the real things. This morning, Maggie sent a message. She said, "When death is near, I felt like closer to God, as His hand is the only thing I feel safe to hold on to. Now, Joel is better. I feel like I'm more casual again." That's quite normal, right? We all do that. Well, it doesn't mean that I left God behind. But I think when difficult time, His hand should be the only thing that we should grab and rely on. I haven't got her permission to read out her message. But I think she would like to share that with you if she was here today, this morning. Our Lord is faithful, and He heard us, and He heard our cry. He didn't turn away at all. He turned His ear to hear us. He knows that He knows what we need, and He provided that to us in advance. That's how He loves us. And when we cry out for mercy, He is there. God is like, is our God, is our Father. And somehow I think God is like Josiah's mom in this aspect. Yesterday, Maggie stayed next to Joe until he can have his first sip of water. She skipped breakfast. She fasted with him, standing next to him all the time. I think she hasn't gone to toilet. Not a thing that I know. She hasn't gone to toilet at all, because I was there as well. But I'm sort of just forced to be there, to be with her. I mean, nobody forced me, but if she wasn't there, I perhaps will go away to the toilet, have some breakfast to get more energy. But as a mom, she just there, just waiting to see what Josiah's needs are. So when Joe calls for anything, she is there. But unfortunately, the night before, none of us can go into the operation room with Josiah. Only our Lord can do that. Verse 3. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The cords of death entangled Josiah. The enemy, death, the enemy, threatened him by bleeding his heart, like a lot of blood coming out. It's not just him. Death is so powerful that those people around him were entangled too. And naturally, we are in distress and sorrow. Friday night, when we knew that he needed to be reopened, what a word. That hurts. Because of that excessive bleeding, he needed to be reopened. There's a scar like from here to here, like a sip. The doctor said, it's just like a sip. The doctor do that kind of things, Evan. It's like, try to make us feel better. But we were panicked. The distress kept us silent. Then we try to feel what we are feeling. We talk about our feelings. Death is so fearful, even when it's just coming near. When we can smell the grave, when we felt that we might be separated by death, that's overwhelming. And especially when he was so alive. I should have put that photo that the three kids jumping on the bed. And you might have seen that from Facebook, that they were jumping in the hospital. I mean, they shouldn't be doing that in the hospital room, and they were having fun. So Josiah was so alive the day before. How can I accept that? How can I accept that he may now be lie down forever? So the description in verse 3 is so true. The angers of the grave came over me. It's so difficult to prepare for death, because it just comes suddenly. It suddenly came over you. As human, we try our best. I mean, the medical staff try our best to be compassionate. Even there's a medical procedure. We don't just go for efficiency. We try to make people feel comfortable. On Friday morning, before the scheduled surgery, during the anesthesia procedure, and it's so humane that Joe actually is in Maggie's arm when he was put to sleep. It's a proper time to say goodbye for that part. And as according to Maggie, like even there have to be a goodbye, then she felt that this have been properly done. It certainly eased the pain if that really need to be a goodbye. But then he become better, like successful surgery and come out of the operation room. Although in ICU we didn't feel that he is in ICU. He looks, it's scary, but like as expected. That's the word we got from the doctor. But suddenly, after 10 hours, suddenly he needed another surgery. And this time we cannot say goodbye, because he wasn't even waking up. This is the anguish of the grave. The distress is so heavy that any human would be overcome. And there's nothing else we can do. We call on the Lord at the door of operation room. We ask our Lord to save him. Help. So will God save? Will he intervene? Yes, because he is gracious. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. In the children ICU, as I'm typing this up, and I heard the helpless cries of little babies. There's usually four patients in the ICU, and they come in and they come. People leave when they get better. Those little babies, they should be in the womb of their mother. Our Lord, surely you should have protected them. But we know that not every one of them become getting better and then can move to normal patient room. We saw that one of the bed in ICU is well decorated. It's better than not better than a Christmas decoration, but it's more or less at that level. And you think that perhaps that patient, that baby, have stayed there for a very long time. That's why the family decided to decorate that for him or her. I don't know. Verse 7, it said, "Return to your rest, my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling." So we're calling our experience about who God is, how God delivered you before. It's certainly a way to calm ourselves. I still remember the time when Josiah was born, and during the first surgery, my pastor in Hong Kong, he sat next to me for the whole time. He didn't say a lot. He just reminds me that God knows. He knows our needs. God is gracious and righteous. He's full of compassion. Yes, he is, definitely. But will he deliver us this time? Does it mean he's not gracious and righteous if we can't see why one is not being saved at a particular time? There are certainly persons not leaving ICU in a healthy state. So, The psalmist in verse 7 said, "The Lord has been good to you." It seems to me it's like repeating, "The Lord has been good to you and He will be. The Lord has been good to you and He will be. Return to your rest, my soul." Where else can we get rest apart from returning to the Lord? Who else can we turn to? So call on Him. It's certainly easier said than done. When we're in trouble, would trusting the Lord be our response? Most of us may turn the other way. The psalmist said in verse 10 that even he's greatly afflicted, even he got angry, saying everyone is a liar, he still trusts the Lord. It's so true that we may feel like everyone is lying to us when we were about to lose precious life, dearest. And when I drove to the hospital on Friday night, I recall what the doctor said. And Friday around noon time after the operation, Pastor Gary was there, and I got a call, and the surgeon just said everything is fine as expected, it's very good. And then when I actually left to Sire that evening to pick up my kids, and at that time the nurse told me that that we are on top of everything, all good. And then I happily went home, and I after settling the kids to bed, and I was about to celebrate. I'm actually celebrating. I'm sort of in my heart, not doing anything special, but lying on bed, trying to relax, and about to take a shower. Then I got a message from Maggie that he needs to be reopened. So he wasn't fine. As I drove, and I said, "His bleeding wasn't under control. You said it's under control, but it's not." I mean, when I read this again, everyone is a liar. I can sort of feel that. I mean, if things really turn really, really bad, I definitely feel that way. Even though I know that they are telling the truth, that's what they know at that point, but I might think that, wow, why you lie to me? Why are you not telling me the truth? There might be like this risk or that. And sometimes I'm not sure when you go to hospital, you try to comfort people by saying, "Well, you will be fine." How do you know? What if it's not turning out fine? Sometimes we say, "Jesus will save you. You just need to have more faith, you pray." What if I'm the patient, I lose my life? Is it because my faith is not strong enough? Or those who pray for me, their faith is not strong enough? I think we are such a results-driven generation. We entrust ourselves to a particular deity, I mean for us, to God. But on a basis that whether God can save them. To be exact, it's whether God can give them what they need, what they want. Certainly Yahweh is the one who saves. For sure He loves us and He saves us. But why sometimes He doesn't save? Sometimes even let His faithful servants to die. I still remember at the time when I heard that a missionary died in Thailand. It was more than 10 years ago. In an accident, he just rode on the motorbike, might be going to visit somebody. My Pastor Gary knows who he is. I don't understand now. And that is not the only case. There were many, many cases like that. Christians and Lord's faithful servants die actually as often as other people. No exception. So what's the meaning of verse 15? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servant. Truly, I'm your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. We usually use precious to describe life. That's why we find it really hard when we lose life. Because we lose something precious. And furthermore, here in verse 15, the death is not about randomly anybody. It's like God's faithful servants, servants that have been serving the Lord for generations. How do we interpret this verse? How do we understand that? Is it like saying that the life of his servants is very valuable? No, but it's talking about death is precious, not life is precious. Life is precious, we can accept it, but death is precious. Or when his servant, or maybe another interpretation, when his servant died, God found it as a good thing because that servant can come back to him, or something, so God see that as great value. Or because they died for the Lord, because they were murdered because of the Lord. But if you look at the context of the whole psalm, certainly we can explain that way and then we feel comfortable. Yeah, because if we die and that glorify God, then that's good. Then we'll become a sort of a precious death in God's eyes. But if you look at the context of the psalm, it's having talking about how God saves. How God's saving acts is precious. So it doesn't quite match. So how can death be a good thing that God values so much? Let's read in the Black Book. From verse 12 to verse 19. I mean, don't be frustrated if you find it like suddenly it's become difficult to understand, because I've been trying to understand this verse for a long time. And this morning, I'm still thinking about how to say that. This is the psalmist's thanksgiving to the Lord. In verse 12, it's quite small because I have to put it in this way. He said, "What shall I return to the Lord for all this goodness to me?" And then in verse 13 and 14, he said, he promised that he will lift up the cup of salvation is to give thanks for being saved in this world. But suddenly in verse 15, he turned to the other side. There's death. Pressure in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servant. But death is not precious. Life is precious. But because human has to die at some point, at least once, some believe it twice, because they have been raised by Jesus. God loves his people so much that the death of his faithful servant is sort of become precious in the eyes of God. The word is, maybe here you can say in verse 15, it's a precious in the sight of God, of the Lord, is the death of his faithful servant. That's added by translation. It wasn't there in Hebrew. And then people think, why is it not there? I mean, need to be a sentence, you need to have a verb. I think that they sort of solve the reason. Because because death is not precious. That's why that verb is not there. It's not that in Hebrew it cannot add it. It can, but it's not there. So we can read it like precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his faithful servant. Every life is precious in God's eyes. So even God didn't intervene with when his servant dies. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care. Those lives are still precious. But the result is death. That time. So the actual thing is death. But what is precious is the life that's going to the end and have to go to the end. So death is not precious, life is precious. But now become death and somehow is become precious in God's eyes. As I pondered this psalm, I found it something weird. I'm not sure when Billy, when you read it, do you think that when I read it, I think where I am when I read verse 14, and then I go to verse 18 and say, hey, something's really similar. It's actually the same. I mean, from call on the name of the Lord, the second half of verse 17 is the same as the second half of 13. And then 14 and 18 is exactly the same. The left-hand side is life. The right-hand side is death. But the psalmist intentionally saying that he call on the Lord the same no matter what. We should always call on Him. I mean, we say that. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But no matter the result is life or death, we are in the midst of the Lord, in the presence of all His people. We hate death. And God is equally sad when we die. So, although the topic, the title is Precious Death today, don't see death as precious. It's not. But, I mean, more important is don't think that God doesn't care about us if, turn out, we die. Or the loved one, the faithful servant of the Lord, die. We can have our feelings, just like the first 9, verse 10, saying that everyone is a liar. I mean, those are the true feeling. But don't be mad at God, because He hates death as well as you hate that. Again, it's easier said than done. I wonder how would I react if death have taken Josiah away today. Will I still call on His name? I think maybe that's why this is not expressed as proverbs. It's a psalm. It's a prayer to the Lord. So when we're troubled by death, pray this prayer over and over again. And that will help you to understand how God feels. Precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of His faithful servant. Let's pray using this psalm. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I call on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the weary. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return to your rest, my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from the death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Then I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trust in the Lord when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. But I still trust, Lord, I trust in you. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of the faithful servant. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thanks offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One last quote I want to share with you. That was Joe before and after. Yeah, I hope there's more enough that you won't see too much. Well, it's reversed. Maggie did it wrong. It's like after and reverse. I mean, before it's like that, and after it's like that, right? And I mean, the ice ball is given by the hospital. I mean, Starship is amazing, and he makes you feel the love, like physically having the ice ball. I mean, it's a great comfort to him. And I think there's the scar, the first scar of Josiah is on the back, and not this time it's in front. So it's to remind us that God has been like in front, the back of us, surrounding us. His love is surrounding us all the time. I hope that can be an encouragement to you when we need to face death around us. Thank you.